Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish has been looking at Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, in a message entitled Holiness and Worship. And today we conclude this message as we go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And what sort of materials are we offering the Lord in our worship? Think of the worship that you offered God today. What materials did you use? Did you use the best, like gold? Or did you get this old piece of wood with the bent nail? Well, you know, this old thing will do. Anything will do. Or was it the best that you had to offer the Lord? These men offered the best. These men offered choice. Premium. That's what should be flowing out of our heart, because God's deserving of that type of worship. And I think anything less would be offensive to Him. And don't think that God is thinking, sitting up there in heaven, I'll just take anything I could get. You know, just work any way that you want. Half heart, I'll take it. God doesn't need our worship. You know what I think He says to worship like that? Keep it to yourself. That's what He said in the book of Haggai. He said, quit bringing me these. I don't want them anymore. He says, drive, get away from me the noise of your music, because they were offering the lame and the sick animals, the leftovers, to God, and God says, that's it, I'm not going to take these. I don't want them. He says, go offer them to your governor, see if he'd take those. I think there's a parallel here. I want to build a throne for God for my own praises, but also from us as a congregation, made out of gold, made out of the choice elements, the fruit of my lips, the sacrifice of praise. You know, we're not going to offer these material things, but now it's praise and worship that flows from the heart. Then God sits on this majestic throne. What type of throne are we at Calvary Chapel La Mirada building the Lord? What materials are we using? Gold, one that's fit for a king, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Myrrh was prophetic of his death, that he was going to die for the sin of the world, reflecting his grace, because myrrh was used in the burial. Then frankincense, that was used in the related to the priesthood. So many see that as, they saw him as a mediator, that we're sinful, we need a mediator, we can't get to God apart from a mediator. You are our priest. The Bible describes him as our high priest. So worship centers around the nature of God and his work. He's the eternal, holy, glorious God. We offer him the best that we can, but then we also lift up thanks and thanksgiving and praise for what he has accomplished in his creation, as well as in the new creation, in salvation in Jesus Christ. And the worship should reflect who God is and what he's accomplished. That's worship that God is deserving of. Anything less, we should be embarrassed to offer the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we need to ask, well, what form should that take? I would start with one of the Psalms says, with all of your hearts. With everything that's in within me, the psalmist writes, I'll bless the Lord. That speaks of living waters, I believe, gushing forth out of your innermost being. It's the Holy Spirit that inspires worship. You realize the Holy Spirit wants you to be a worshiper of God? He wants to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And so he's going to give you the ability, and some of you just need to open up your heart and say, God, make me a worshiper of you. I've been offering you the old 2x4s from the backyard. I want to offer you something precious. I want the treasure of my heart to be opened up, and what flows out of it is sacrifice of praise and gold and frankincense and myrrh. Isn't that what the Lord's deserving of? That's what I'm contending for. That's what I'm laboring for in the Word here today. I believe the Lord has sown that into my heart to exhort and to encourage. One other thing before we leave this passage and just look at a couple verses in the book of Revelation. All of these gifts that were given to him represented something of the nature and character of Jesus, King, Mediator, and Priest. There's something about worship, and I believe that you'll find this to be true if you truly are a worshiper of God. There's something of a revelation of the nature and character of God as you worship Him that you don't find anywhere else. You find it in the Bible. It's written. He's holy. He's glorious. But it's another thing to experience the holiness of God in worship. As you're in God's presence, there's something of a glimpse that you get of His power, His majesty, His might, and your songs begin to rise up and express that of His nature. Just like these men, their worship expressed something about the nature and character of God. And there's something about coming into church all bummed out with a bunch of trials, and you start worshiping, and you're reminded of God's all-powerful. And there's nothing impossible. And you begin to worship God because of that power and glory. And anything that you think that's happening, that God's speaking to you, showing you as you're worshiping, then you make sure it's true in the Bible. And it blends together. But there's something about worshipers that know the Lord intimately. It's not just enough to say, I believe that God is holy. That's my doctrinal statement. That's good. But have you experienced the holiness of God? Do you really know intimately the holiness of God as you worship Him? Have you been humbled, utterly humbled, and said, I am nothing before this holy God? Like Isaiah that says, I'm undone, woe is me. We encounter the Lord that way through worship. And we humble ourselves. And then we express, He is holy and we are not. A deeper glimpse of the nature and character of God. Let's close pretty quickly here and just reading a couple passages of Scripture from Revelation which speak about worship. And look at Revelation chapter 5. Here it speaks of all these thousands and ten thousands, thousands and thousands, it goes on to say, these beings that are there worshiping God, these angels, 24 elders, the living creatures. Verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. It is pretty loud in heaven. If you thought you were going to go there and sleep and get rest, it seems to be pretty loud with thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands of all these beings worship. Plus, then all the redeemed that have ever been saved are there in the presence of God. Worship is going to be taking place at the central part in heaven. I know you can only take so much today, but hang in there with me, because there's a few other things that I have to share with you. Notice it says He's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. Does God need more riches? Does He need more power? Does He need more? It all belongs to Him. He is all powerful. He is all the glory rests in God. He's the one to receive it. Now, how does He receive it? It's through our worship, through our expressing, You are a holy God. You are a glorious God. You are a powerful God. And we mean that from the bottom of our heart, and it exalts the Lord. That's how He receives. That's what we need to give to God. We need to give those things in the form of praise and worship. And think with me on this. There's not a lot of things that you do here in this earth that you're going to do in heaven. Sorry to disappoint you. No TV in heaven. No sports in heaven. You know, there's no there's no witnessing in heaven. Who are you going to witness to? As far as I could see, we don't pray in heaven for God's will to be done. His will is done. The one thing that takes from this earth that goes on forever is worship. The Bible says we serve the Lord and we will forever, but worship is something that goes on forever and ever and ever. Friends, worship is something that you will do throughout all eternity. How important is that then? As much as we think these things are important, we're doing now, one of the things that's eternal is worship. And you're never going to come to the end of that last worship service that we said we've given God all the glory that He deserves. It goes on forever and ever and ever. Because His power is limitless. You never get to the end of describing the glory and the majesty and the praise that our God is deserving of. There must be something important about worship from Genesis to Revelation that this is the thing that continues on. And for me, I want to prepare you for heaven. I want to prepare you as a congregation for heaven. So when you pass from this life, you just go right into worship. And you don't have to be instructed. You know what to do, and your heart's already there. I want to prepare my family for heaven as well. And the Lord's been gracious to give me a couple experiences with my youngest two, with Dylan, who's 3 years old, and with Candace, who's my 7 year olds. And I've been playing as of late, over the last year or so, a lot more worship in my car as I drive around. And it's had an impact upon our little ones, our kids. And every time I get in my car, Dylan says, I want One Day in Your Courts. Dad, put that on. And I'll play that over and over, and they'll never get tired of it. I try and switch it. I want One Day in Your Courts. And one day I didn't have the CD. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, son. I left it in my office. And he started to cry. I want that song. And I thought, how sweet. I didn't even realize that was having that sort of impact upon him. But then yesterday, again, I was playing that same song because I like it. I play it over and over and over as well because there's a truth there that rings true with my heart. And there's a part in the singing where the worship leader is just singing unto the Lord. It's not the chorus. It's not the whatever other parts of the song that are there. He's just singing to the Lord and singing his own worship song. And I was driving along, and that part came on, and I just happened to look in my rearview mirror. And here's my 7-year-old, Candace. Hands raised up, eyes closed, head lifted to heaven, and just expressing these praises to God. Talk about a Father's Day present. I already received it. But she was worshiping the Lord, and I believe that was honor. You know, no, I didn't tell her to do that. It was just something that was flowing out. You could see it in her eyes. She's like squinting her eyes and wanting to communicate the goodness and glory of God. I say, I want to see a church filled with people that something's erupting on the inside to give God the worship that He is deserving of. And again, think with me. I know I've been passionate about, and this is the third time I've been through, and my voice is giving out. That's why I'm going to end here in a second. Or I just keep going. But I want you to think also with me. I tried to exhort and encourage, but I've given you some what they'd call food for thoughts. I mean, here is God, and our worship needs to reflect who He is. That's what the Bible would teach. And the only way for us to know that is to get back to the Scriptures. And that worship seems to be something that is far less than what we describe as passive and quiet. And yes, there's time for meditation. Yes, there's time to be still before the Lord. But it seems to be God is saying, come before me and express the glory that I'm deserving of. And I don't think the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. Don't be too enthusiastic. Don't lift your hand. Don't sing too loud. Don't rejoice too much. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I find the exact opposite. And when you get to heaven, that's exactly what's going to be taking place. There's going to be enthusiastic worship. It'll be loud and expressive. And there is a place, the book of Revelation says there's silence before God. But it seems to me the majority of the time, it's happening up there. And I just wish that one day we're here in church and like this curtain would draw back. And we'd see all these angels and created beings worshiping God. And we'd get a glimpse of what's happening, what we're preparing ourselves for. And if we were to see that, don't you think that would change our worship? Okay, we can't see it, but we could read about it. And that's what is happening right now. The Bible's true. I want our worship to reflect that of the nature and character of God. That's what He is deserving of. He's deserving of nothing less. And I pray that the Word today would find good soil and produce fruit in the months to come in this area of worship.